This is Helen Cannon with Petals and Prose, and still with spring fever. The passion that gardeners have for plants is sometimes hard to see and understand. It's like people who don't have pets really don't understand how someone can love a dog or a cat. Well, you might wonder how Colette, the French writer, how her mother Cito could turn down a chance to see her daughter just to see a plant bloom. But those of us who love plants will understand perfectly. This is a letter from Cito to one of Colette's husbands. "Sir, you asked me to come and spend a week with you, which means I would be near my daughter, whom I adore. You who live with her know how rarely I see her, how much her presence delights me, and I am touched that you should ask me to come and see her. All the same, I'm not going to accept your kind invitation, at the time being, anyway. The reason is that my pink cactus is probably going to flower. It's a very rare plant I've been given, and I'm told that in our climate, it flowers only once every 4 years. Now, I'm already a very old woman, and if I went away when my pink cactus is about to flower, I am certain I shouldn't see it flower again. So I beg you, sir, to accept my sincere thanks and my regrets together with my kind regards. This note, signed Citronée Colette, was written by my mother to one of my husbands, the second. A year later, she died at the age of 77. Whenever I feel myself inferior to everyone about me, threatened by my own mediocrity, frightened by the discovery that a muscle is using its strength, a desire, its power, or a pain, the keen edge of its bite, I can still hold up my head and say to myself, I am the daughter of the woman who wrote that letter. That letter and so many more that I've kept, this one tells me in 10 lines that at the age of 76 she was planning journeys and undertaking them, but that waiting for the possible bursting into bloom of a tropical flower held everything up and silenced even her heart made for love. I am the daughter of a woman who in a mean, close-fisted, confined little place opened her village home to stray cats, tramps, and pregnant servant girls. I am the daughter of a woman who many a time, when she was in despair at not having enough money for others, ran through the wind-whipped snow to cry out from door to door at the houses of the rich that a child had just been born in a poverty-stricken home to parents whose feeble, empty hands had no swaddling clothes for it. Let me not forget that I am the daughter of a woman who bent her head, trembling between the blades of a cactus, her wrinkled face full of ecstasy over the promise of a flower, a woman who herself never ceased to flower untiringly during 3/4 of a century. Well, that wasn't a spring flower, but it is the same passion as those of us who wait to see the first snowdrop or the first daffodil or narcissus or hyacinth. This is an essay that I've liked for a long time by Carol Amon called Hyacinths to Feed the Soul. When I was a student nurse, I babysat during off hours to help pay my way. One day I got a call to sit for a whole weekend. All I knew when I headed for the job was that the couple wanted to get away from their 2 kids for a few days. Expecting that only rich people would be able to do that, I was surprised when the address turned out to be a tiny house in the borderline part of the city. Ted, the husband, had just joined an architectural firm. His wife, Ardith, looked terribly tired. They waited, obviously anxious to be off, while I got acquainted with the children, 2.5 years and 11 months old. I held the baby against my shoulder while Ted gave me the name of their hotel. "You'll be there the whole time?" I asked. "That's headquarters," Ted answered. "We'll sleep late and prowl around town. When we get hungry, we'll eat and visit the art galleries." Mentally, I added up the cost of all that, plus my fee. "But won't that be terribly expensive?" I blurted. I had adopted them already. "Why, yes, I guess it will," Ted said, "but it's important." We're both tired and snapping at each other. "Ardith especially needs to get away from the children." Ardith smiled at me. "Don't you know about hyacinths to feed the soul?" She took a volume from the bookcase and opened it at a poem called Gulistan by a sheikh who lived more than 700 years ago. "If of thy mortal goods thou art bereft And from thy slender store, two loaves alone to thee are left. Sell one, and with the dole, buy hyacinths to feed the soul. That poem taught me a good deal. These two didn't have enough money for the trip, but they were tuned in on a set of values I'd never even thought of. Sunday night, when they came back, they looked like teenagers who'd just discovered love. And my money was tucked under a ribbon on a pot holding a lavender hyacinth. Over the years since, I've made a hobby of noticing people and whether or not they know about using non-essentials and extravagances occasionally to feed the soul. The happiest people do. A church organist I know grew up on a farm during the Depression. They didn't starve, but her childhood was not happy. Then when I was in seventh grade, things changed, she told me. My folks bought a second-hand piano and arranged with a music teacher in town to accept vegetables in payment for my lessons. The neighbors called it a useless extravagance. The miracle is that my folks knew what was important. 20 cashmere sweaters couldn't have charged me with the confidence that piano gave me. And a no-nonsense mother I know lets Christmas and family birthdays release her usual tight lid on frivolity. When I was a child, she explains, gifts were always dirty shoes, warm gloves, underwear. After I got married, I decided that we'd somehow manage the essentials and that the special occasions would be for fun. Now my husband and I give each other and the kids wild things we'd never dare include in the budget. Her idea of zingy gifts, tickets to a far-out play, a white velvet coat she's worn twice and has had cleaned twice, but which makes her feel positively elegant. For the children, redeemable coupons for gooey treats at the ice cream store. Flowers given on birthdays or other predictable occasions are hardly hyacinths. But when bouquets are offered to celebrate Monday or the anniversary of the day we got the car paid for, or simply, thank you for putting up with me for so long, what a different matter. To send a relative a card on his birthday is not unusual, but to pop a note into the mail apropos of nothing is a hyacinth. The mother who spells I love you with chocolate chips on the top of a no occasion cake is proclaiming loud and clear that she cares. When our stomachs are empty, we get hungry. Symptoms of soul starvation are subtler. Tomorrows and tomorrows are rolling by. Paychecks are being spent on bread and shoes and rent, while the walls of our souls remain bare. If this matters to us, we can do something. We can buy hyacinths to feed the soul. This is Helen Cannon with Petals and Prose. Thank you for listening.